Pipe, you ready with some slack, will you?
How are you doing?
There's a chalk stone I'm making for. It's magnificent up here. It's like climbing on the balcony of heaven.
Come on, boys. Just one long stretch. Now both hands on the chalkstone. One foot jammed in the crack. Then the other. Free climbing now.
I can hear the Valkyries! Oh!
We present A Story of Climbers and Climbing by Jim Andrew, set in Grisdale in the heart of the English Lake District. The Pit of the Trolls.
I have to watch the bends on these moorland roads. Even a woman knows them. Hey! Out of the way! Damn fool sheep. Yeah, these picnickers, you know, stop by the side of the road and leave scraps. That's what tempts them down from the hillside.
Oh.
They're getting stiff, Chris.
Oh, yes, a little.
Yeah, it's been a long drive from Oxford. Yes, indeed it has. Hello? Yeah, someone's in a hurry.
Hey, nice bit of gear there, sir.
Well, watch you don't strain it, mister. You'll have the
RSPCA on. See the way they took that bend. It's a wonder they didn't miss the bridge and find themselves in the water.
It's a pity. A cold ducking might have done them a power of good. Wash some of the nonsense out of their greasy paws.
Climbers, I think. They had ropes with them.
Climbers of a sort. The wrong sort. I'm sorry to say that even up here we're getting plagued by the Leather Jacket Brigade. Any young fool nowadays can obtain himself one of those noisy machines on the hire purchase and turn himself loose on our countryside.
It's pretty grand country at that. I can see why you choose to live here, sir.
Yes, can't get back to the hills too soon once the term's over. You know, I've climbed mountains the world over, but my first love is for our English hills. And Grisdale, Yorkshire limestone uplands, Lakeland Fells, and you'll find plenty of archaeological hunting ground. There have been settlements in Grisdale since Paleolithic times. And we're still pretty prehistoric.
It's very kind of you to invite me along like this, sir. I do.
No nonsense. It's kind of you to accept an invitation for an old fogey. A bit of youthful company may stay my tottering progress into crabbed old age.
But you don't live alone in Grisdale, do you? I understood.
Oh, yeah, there's my daughter, of course. Like her old man, loves the hills. Brought her up that way. She's a teacher. Art. Yeah, modern stuff, you know, but she's a good girl. She came up a couple of days ago. Their term finished before ours. We're to meet her in the pub. I garage Alberta here in the village. The track up to the cottage will play havoc with her antique suspension. We got a Land Rover beetling back and forth. Do you know Brenda, by the way?
Brenda? Yes, we met briefly.
Dad, back there, where he's going, it's about 1,700,000 miles to Brighton. He'll never make it in this lifetime.
Well, you've some room to talk. Well, you two legs in the same stakes, or what? They've been open half an hour, you know. We're losing valuable drinking time. Get a move on, can you?
I'm giving her all she's got. It's the weight of all the iron pegs and top number 10 hard mountaineers gear in the pannier slowing her up. And you on the back, you big fat cow.
Watch it.
Anyway, that was the last cowing hill. We've got gravity on our side now and Grisdale straight ahead. So I hope you've got your choppers well closed.
Hey, bombs away! Away, away, with rum by gum, with rum by gum, with rum by gum. Away, away, with rum by gum. That's the song of the Salvation Army.
Well, this place looked like being the lot as far as the nightlife's concerned. Yeah. Oh, you feel better now, kid? Well, let's hook the brews up to the chintzy curtains.
Look at the place. Hey, do you reckon we'd better take our boots off?
Ah, come on.
Hey, you should take your head off, mate. You little old beans and injury.
Ah, go away.
Oh! Warned you. You should have kept your crash helmet on. Oh, hello there, then.
Good evening, sir.
Give us 2 pints of your best draught, please, love, and a pair of sunglasses.
I beg your pardon?
But it's all the gleaming brass and copper. Oh, no, forget it.
I was dazzled by this young lady's beauty for a second, but I'll cope. You have a drink, love?
I have one, thank you.
Well, there's nothing to stop you having another, is there? What is it? Oh, scotch.
You're wasting your time. I'm waiting to meet someone.
With my luck, I should have known. I was going to get you a double, then. You settle for a single and call it quits.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, Mrs... Where is she, then?
She's gone to the cellar to draw your beer.
Do you hear that, Seth? We haven't got beer engines out here yet. Hey, and Mrs., bring us two more of the same while you're down there. Shape your legs. Seth, take that number 10 hard man face off. I want you to meet a young lady friend of mine. What did you say your name was again, love?
I didn't. But it's Brenda. Hello, sir.
Hiya.
He doesn't say much, does he, sir? He's been very badly brought up, you see. He's terribly foul-mouthed. So women in company, I do the talking for both of us. He'd be liable to forget himself and say something horrible like elephant dung. So watch it, sir, because she's very pucker, this one.
Thank you.
He spits too. Oh, here we are, love.
4 pints of draft beer, sir. It was four, sir.
Yeah. And a small whiskey, please.
A small whiskey.
You have one yourself, love?
No, thank you, sir. That'll be 9 and 8 pence.
Here you are. I'm sorry about your little dog. Fond of him, were you?
I beg your pardon?
You must have thought an awful lot about him to put his head up over the mantelpiece.
That's a fox, sir.
Oh. Somebody shot him, did they?
No, sir. Foxes aren't shot.
Hunted him, then? Hounds and all that, what, hmm?
Yes, sir.
Oh, they certainly frightened the poor little fellow. He must have been running at a fair belt when he hit that chimney back.
Cheers.
Cheers. Do you reckon she fancies me, madam?
Well, I wouldn't say you'd made a conquest.
No? Well, you can't win every time. Do you play darts?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Come on, see you around the ball.
I'd love to, but I told you I'm meeting someone.
You staying in Grisdale?
Yes.
Another time, then?
Well, yes, certainly.
When, tomorrow? Next day?
I can't really say for certain. I'm sure we'll run across each other.
Oh, you'll be around Grisdale for a good bit, then?
Yes, my home's here.
Now, get away. Them rustic truths don't fool me. You're not a farmer's daughter. Yeah, I can't see you mucking out a shipping.
I work in London. I just spend my holidays here.
Oh, that's more like it. What's your line, then?
I'm an artist. Well, I teach at training college.
Yeah. About 30. Well, we'll say late 20s, for good manner's sake. Not wed. Living in the big city. You have a gay time, dear.
Is that meant to be offensive?
Just a statement of fact. Me, I'm not insecure enough to feel the need to be offensive. Now, Seth here, he's different again. I told you he was very badly brought up. He's so insecure, he belts people.
I'll lay off and I'll belt you.
See what I mean? He even picks on his mates. I say, Seth, do stop being beastly. Let's get some makeup, shall we?
Yeah, hey, I'll watch it.
Now,
hey,
young men.
Sorry, Mrs. Seth, behave yourself. Showing me up again. I'd much rather kiss you, actually. Would that make us mates?
Thank you for the drink.
Oh, cool, yes. Very cool.
Oh, please. Daddy! Mom, Mrs.
Singer. Hello, my dear. How's my favourite girl?
What sort of a journey have you had from Oxford?
Oh, fine, fine. Hood down all the way. Now, Bertha puffed a bit on some of the hills. Getting past it, like a driver.
Never.
She can still make it, though. Bert, how are you, dear?
Much better for seeing you, of course. Oh.
Hello.
Christofferson. Yeah, I'm sorry, I quite forgot. Christofferson, my daughter Brenda. I can't remember now whether you said you'd met.
Briefly.
Yes, good. Well, there's no need to say none further ceremony in that case. We'll get straight to priorities. It's been a long drive, and I want to wrap myself round a tall glass of Mrs. Hawkes's excellent ale. I dare say you'll feel the same, eh, Christofferson?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good. Well, if you'll be so kind as to make way, young man.
Oh, squad. Come on, Seth, make with the elbow room for the gentleman.
2 glasses of your excellent ale, Mrs. Hawkes, if you please.
Oh, yes, sir.
Hello, Bren.
What the hell do you mean by coming here?
Excuse me. Mind your backs, mates. This way, is it?
Yes, in the yard.
Stop.
What are you doing here?
Didn't the professor, your father tell you?
He said he'd invited a guest, but he didn't say who. Just someone from the college. But you...
What's the matter? I thought you'd be pleased.
Anything for you, dear?
No, thank you, Daddy. I had one while I was waiting for you. I don't want another.
Had your ration, eh? Thank you, Mrs. Hawkes.
Thank you, Professor.
Well, here we are, Christofferson.
Thank you, sir. All the best.
Oh, cheers. Christofferson, you know, is an archaeologist. However, he's agreed to take a little time from grubbing after arrowheads to be initiated into the mysteries of mountain craft. Eh, young man?
Mr. Christofferson, you must be ever so firm with him. Otherwise, he'll have you out climbing with him every day. Don't allow yourself to be bullied.
Oh, come now. I'm not that bad, am I, young man? Have I tried to bully or cajole you?
Well, on the drive up, sir, you did seem determined to convert me.
Convert? Yeah, I suppose that is the word for it. I don't want to sound like a mystic, no bull, as they say, but mountaineering is something of a religion as well as a sport, to me anyway. on a high ridge or a rock face, when one relies solely on one's agility and experience, and the strength and experience of one's companions, of course, the mind is opened as well as the body exercised.
Watch your backs. Oh, excuse me, Squire.
What have you been doing then?
My daughter, you know, has been climbing since she could barely walk. She must have been one of the youngest persons to ascend Mont Blanc. Well, she's just three. The guide and I remember, took turns carrying her papoose fashion in a specially constructed rucksack.
She should have a name put on the back of a bear mat.
I beg your pardon?
You never noticed? They put records on them. You know, world's longest ski jump, fastest talker, first man to go over Niagara Falls in an ice cream carton.
I met this gentleman whilst I was waiting for you, Daddy.
Oh, really? Then I've been discourteous. I failed to offer the young gentleman a drink. What's your pleasure, sir?
Oh, well, I can always supper finds a bitter.
I gather from your equipment that you and your companion intend to do some mountaineering.
Yeah, we're planning to have a go.
Everyone sees so many young men with their new nylon ropes. They all hope to run before they can walk. I hope you aren't the foolhardy sort.
Foolhardy? Oh, no, those, Jack.
I trust you don't climb as recklessly as you drive that big motorcycle, then. I would suggest that the speed at which you were taking the bends on the road today left you no margin of safety.
Well, it all depends on whether you know what you're doing, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, when it comes to mountaineering, just remember there'll always be more sheep than tigers. Well, my dear, Christofferson, if you're ready...
Yes, Daddy.
Oh, I was going to buy you a drink, young man. Do you mind ordering yourself? I think this should cover it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you, sir.
Oh, by the way, I should avoid climbing in adverse conditions in those continental boots you're wearing. Rubber soles are fine in the Alps where the rock is clean, but the vegetation that abounds on our homeland hills means that when wet, the crags become treacherously greasy.
Oh, I'm strictly a fair weather man myself.
Good. Good night, Mrs. Hawks.
Oh, good night, sir.
Good night. Have a nice walk tomorrow. And mind you don't get lost. Our homeland hills can become treacherously deceptive if the mist comes down on an empty stomach.
Yeah, walk over a cliff, will you? Stupid melt.
And sir, watch it. Hey, don't you know who he is? Everest man, no less. Sheridan Penlove, expeditions of 37 and 46. Real number 10 hard man.
No wonder they didn't get up.
Nah, don't be like that. He was a good man in his day. Pioneered some of the last great classic routes in the Alps. Pre-Eiger-like, but, well, fair for them.
Hey, Everest 46. Wasn't that the time only half of them came back?
Yeah, but only they didn't know what they were doing, did they? Hey, put 5 bob's this and let's have some more ale on. I think with a bit of luck tonight, we might get a second gallon in before the towel goes up. First day in the hills and all that, what?
Oh, that was excellent, excellent. Well, and now I think to crown the feast, the wine. Hock, I think. Sweet and cool. Yeah, one advantage of living in a converted farmhouse such as this is that the old scullery provides an admirable cellar.
Shall I get it?
No, dear, I'll go. If you'll excuse me, young man.
Of course, sir.
Brenda.
Please, I want to clear these things away.
Brenda.
Chris, please. Daddy will be back in a moment.
What's the matter with you? I thought you'd be pleased to see me.
Well, I'm not. Now, please let me go. Thank you.
I don't understand you. When I last saw you in London...
That was in London. We're not in London now.
Bren, what's gone wrong? I knew there was something the matter when you wrote.
What I said in my note was true. I was busy. It was the end of term. You spoiled everything by coming here. Whatever pretext you used...
There was no pretext involved. I am an archaeologist, you know, and I do want to do some field work. So when your father invited me along here, I naturally jumped at the chance to come and see you during the vac. But I would have come anyway.
Well, that's all right, then. I'd have hated you to have had a wasted journey.
Brenda, what suddenly got into you?
Oh, nothing suddenly got into me. I'm sorry, Chris. I'm upset, that's all. I can't explain
but
now.
Brenda!
Shh!
Here we are.
I'll put another log on the fire.
Ah, yes, a log. Even in summer, there's nothing like an open fire. Rather degenerate, I suppose.
Oh, I don't know, sir. I mean, if you think of it as an art form, a sort of visual thing, you know, sculpture in flame, I mean, aesthetically, it's...
Eh?
Well, as opposed to a source of warmth, that is, I mean, rather as a picture, you know?
Yes, well, I dare say Brenda would have more thoughts about that. She's the artist. Well, dear.
I'm going to the washing up. I don't want to leave these dishes for Mrs. Ferguson in the morning. I'll leave you two to draw.
Not doubting that the old man will be doing most of it. That's what you mean, eh?
Good night.
Good night, dear.
Good night, Mr. Christofferson.
Good night.
Nothing like a yarn by the fireside. here.
Thank you.
No, get in the chimney corner there. No, sling those maps on the floor.
Oh, right.
I remember that was old Split Price Jones's favorite seat. We were in the high Andes together once, Bolivia, taming a few peaks.
Ah, the pit of the trolls.
situated at the head of Grisdale. This remarkable and awesome geological fault is one of England's more impressive natural phenomena. The pit was once a cavern, hollowed out over a period of millions of years by the waters of Grisbeck, until at last the roof collapsed, causing the formation of the present grim gorge. With its vast 500-foot walls of overhanging brittle and unscalable limestone. That's what the guidebook says.
It looks grotty.
We've seen grot here.
We're going to climb it, then?
We're going to climb it.
Oh, I could feel a lot better if I hadn't had last night's bellyful.
Soon sweat that out of you. Go on, Amy, old buddy. Pump up some of this gear.
Aye. Oh, God, I've got an head like Birkenhead.
Wait until you get up there, mate. You'll soon clear it. Clinging on a rock face, relying solely on your own how's your father and all that bull. It'll open your mind for you and let some fresh air in. Can't let anything out. Hey, get the kinks out of that rope, will you? The first 100 feet will free climb. I'm going to make for that olive tree 60 foot up. Should be able to fix a runner on it. And then I'll try to work my way left to the ledge under the first overhang. Looks nice and cosy. You right?
Right.
Hey, did I ever tell you about that Judy I went to Skye with?
Oh, I, Darkby.
Aye. Well, when we went to Skye, I just met her up at Wall End. She was with a crowd from some teacher training college, you know. Dead loads, a lot of them. Oh, she was different again, though. She was a cuts from the rest of them all. They talk about trunking, mate. You don't know what it is.
Ah, and you've seen that about every bird you meet, you.
Ah, I'm right, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, I don't believe you, but thousands wouldn't. What about her?
Oh, nothing. Well, it's just that this brand of Penlove birds reminds me of her, that's all.
Oh, your nasty little mind's working overtime again, is it? I thought you were tossing and turning last night. You're a bad one, you are.
That was bad ale, mate, keeping me awake. The bird who'll keep me from a kip hasn't been born yet. Oh, no, for crying out loud.
What's up, then?
Did I say I was putting a runner in this olive tree? Merry Christmas. Hey, mind your head. Roll on.
Oh, watch it. You're sending all the grit out of me here, you filthy squalling.
So you think you have the problems in my life? Oh, you should be up here, mate. Talk about Josie. You're
little.
I'm trying to keep my spirits up. Hey, look out below!
Hey! What are you doing up there, for heaven's sake?
Oh, chopping blue light. Hey, don't pull on that rope. You're not bell-ringing, you know. Get up me off.
You stand still and get bombarded, do you?
Oh, God, where's your self-control? That's better. It's not like having a nice iron peg to fasten yourself onto for giving you that sense of security. I say. What's green all over with lots of little cogwheels?
A moody hello, look.
A no-ho, a garas. I was lying about the little cogwheels.
Oh, Pip.
So the intrepid hero claws his laborious way up another 3 feet of virgin rock, painfully conquering the relentless winter. Hello, no more crack. Drilling from now on, boy-o.
Thought you said this first bridge would be easy.
Ah, you know what thought did. Hey, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Teresa.
Teresa who?
Teresa, an old mill by the stream. Nelly Dean. Oh, God, you know we're going to be days drilling this bitch.
Steady, Christopherson. Now, mind how you go on those smooth leather soles just here. This path's like a skating ring, in part.
I'm taking care, sir.
Yeah. Oh, what? Oh. All right?
Yeah. Oh. Yes, it's worse than I thought.
Yes, it's the spray from the stream. Limestone can be a bit dodgy when it's wet. Look, keep hold of my arm.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, we'll have to fit you up with a pair of good nailed boots. There's a chap in the village who'll fix you up. Good man, specializes in mountain boots. Well, it'll be over the worst of it once we get past this waterfall. Here we are.
Oh, thanks. I must say, you keep yourself pretty fit, sir.
Not bad for an old crock past 50, eh? Yes, I can still race many a man half my age to the top of Great Gable and not be short of breath. Oh, well, this is as far as we're going. Well, over yonder. What do you think of that?
That's a splendid sight.
Yeah, Pit of the Trolls. Impressive, eh?
It's magnificent.
And we're half a mile away. You should see it close up. 500 feet sheer, where it's not overhanging.
That's terrific.
Yeah, that's what Wordsworth thought. Terrific as the lair where the young lions crouch.
It makes one dizzy just to look at it. I say, sir, I hope you won't expect me to scramble up there with you.
Oh, there speaks the mountain tyro. No one climbs there. Far too dangerous and quite impossible. Limestone, you see. Experienced climbers leave it strictly alone. The Dales folk maintain the Troll King claims at least one victim every year.
Troll King? He's a long way from home, isn't he?
Scandinavia, you mean? Yes. Wordsworth imported him, complete with oozing hair and mineral crown. Actually, Wordsworth never visited Grisdale and only knew the cliff from pictures. But he added to the local folklore. There are still elderly Dales folk who'll tell you the place is haunted.
Well, you could have fooled me. It's certainly a fearsome-looking place.
Yes. Oh, well, I've paid my homage. If you're ready, we'll make tracks. I dare say you'll be ready for breakfast by the time we've made our way back.
Yes, sir. I'll
see. Well, get your skates on, then.
Yes.
Okay. Now, careful now. That tricky bit again.
Right.
Just over here.
Oh. Roll on Christmas. And it must be getting close. Seem to be months on this job.
Bridget!
Last night in my bug bag, I was dreaming I had my little hammer in my hand.
You'll die with the little hammer in your hand, mate.
Ooh, you do look little down there. Hey, I'm off the rope.
Oh, about 10 foot.
Oh, right, well, I'll bring you up then. There's a crack just above me. If you stand on my shoulders, you should be able to reach it and put a peg in, right?
Right.
All right, take your time. There's no hurry. After damn near 3 days, you needn't rush yourself.
Oh, hello. Fancy meeting you here.
Small world, isn't it?
Yeah, well, let's get past then. Yeah, I hope this boat will hold us both. It's a long way down there, and there's some big spiky rocks at the bottom.
Then the quicker you get the peg in, the better. Hey, stop mucking about.
All right, keep your hair on. It's a long way stretch.
Oh.
Keep flaming still, will you?
Watch what you do with your big feet, then. I don't want my teeth kicked out.
Hells bells!
Hey.
Keep still!
Oh. You what? You keep still when somebody's dropping beatings on your head.
Yeah, well, if you kept still in the first place, I would never have dropped you. Hey, roll on, the boat's shifting, I felt it move.
Oh, hurry off, then.
Oh, I'll give us some slack. Oh, well, I feel a damn sight safer now.
Yeah. Hey, chop us a fag, will you?
Well, here, catch.
Stop. You comfy?
Yeah.
Hey, Baloo, aren't we high up here? Hey, I can see ever so far. Right across to the other side of Dale where the little men.
Don't let the exposure worry you. If you slip, the rope won't let you fall.
Of course.
Now, slowly, select your best holds, and remember, always keep 3 points of contact with the rock. Move only either 1 foot or 1 hand at a time.
Right.
And never make a move that you can't reverse. Now, steady. Yeah, that's it. Now, select another handle.
Yes.
Right here. That's it. Good lad.
Oh. It's hard work.
That's because you're making hard work of it. Right, dear?
Okay.
Now, watch Brenda now.
Yes.
You see how she keeps well out from the rock?
Oh, yes.
All her weight on her legs,
yes,
just
I see.
Using her hands for balance.
Uh-huh.
Now, you wouldn't climb a flight of stairs by lying on your tummy and dragging yourself up by the rods, would you? Yet, in effect, that's exactly what you were doing. Apart from taking most of the strain on your arms, instead of the sturdier leg muscles, you had the friction of your body against the rock to contend with.
Oh.
No wonder you found it hard going. But you didn't do too badly. You'll soon learn. Craft is more important than strength in mountaineering. Ah, well done, dear.
Thank you.
Yeah, well,
Are you ready?
Yes, Daddy.
Right, off we go. Now, this pitch is slightly different. Watch how I use the vertical cracks to keep my balance by means of the side holes. Not unlike the way a koala bear climbs a tree.
Bren, your attitude these last few days since I've been
here... Oh, please, Chris, not now.
But we must at least talk, surely.
This isn't the time.
Well, it might be the only time I'll have. You've been pretty successfully avoiding me.
I have not been avoiding you. I've just been busy. I thought you'd come up here to dig. But we've seen each other at mealtimes, and heaven knows most evenings.
You know what I mean. You made damn sure that we're never alone together, and I must talk to you.
Not now, Chris. Watch Daddy. You'll have to follow him in a minute.
When, then?
Oh, in the pub this evening. We'll talk then if we must.
Yeah.
Right, Daddy?
Sixpence change, sir.
Thank you.
Been up the mountains today, have you?
Yes.
Dangerous game, I always say. Although I don't suppose you could be in safer hands than with the professor.
Oh, no.
Very experienced he is. Been up mountains all over the world. Written books, too. Whenever there's an accident in the valley, he always takes charge.
Oh, yes, he obviously knows his stuff.
But what I can never understand is how you get the rope up first. Oh, excuse me, yes?
Usual four pints, please, love. Hey, up, Whack, how's it going, then?
Oh, fine, thanks. Excuse me.
Hey, how about Guido and his new big boots and natty breeks, then?
He looks like a great long thinking homie, Johnny.
Thanks. Cheers.
Cheers. Now, tell me what's got into you. We seem... Well, until I came here in London...
Look, you're a nice boy, Chris. I like you a lot. When I first met you at that party, I thought... Well, I was lonely.
And that was all?
You caught me on the rebound, Chris. I'm sorry.
And all those other times you had me chasing down to London?
Well, I thought things might work out. At first I did. I wanted them to, Chris. Then when I knew they wouldn't, I tried to tell you, but I didn't have the guts, I suppose.
Can't we try again?
It's no use, Chris.
I'm not smart enough for you, that's it, isn't it? I'm not sophisticated like that gang you knock around with in London. I don't paint pictures, and most of those I see are too deep for me. I don't write mystical plays or fragments of unfinished novels. I'm not one of your precious
genii.
Look,
Chris, you're a sweet boy.
But what sort of an arty genius was he, then? What thing did he have which I haven't?
He was a second-hand car salesman, as a matter of fact. Not any kind of genius. Just the opposite. And as for being smart and sophisticated, well, he thought he was that, too. And he did have the veneer, the right clothes, the right gadgets. But essentially, he was just vulgar, as Daddy would put it. Have you ever read any of Daddy's books?
Oh, of course, they're pretty, you must stand up.
Oh, no, not his literary tomes, or his travel books. I mean, his novels, but you wouldn't know them. He writes under a pen name. They're thrillers, set in mountains, of course. Where else? Smuggling on the Swiss-Italian border. Spies in the Austrian Tyrol. But apart from the mountain location, they have one other thing in common. The villain is always vulgar. On the surface, he might be suave, but underneath, he's never a gentleman. It's quite ridiculous. In one of Daddy's books, you always know who done it. He gives himself away in chapter 3. How? When he kisses the heroine, which he always does, I forgot to tell you, he's always too good-looking, he kisses her with his mouth open and he uses his tongue. The heroine's always horrified, and Daddy really believes he's written an outrageous scene.
What are you telling me?
I'm not one of those heroines, Chris.
I know that.
No, you don't. You don't understand at all. What I'm trying to tell you is that what happened between us, it is not anything special. Not to me. You were just an attractive boy who found me attractive. From then on, things just developed naturally to their logical conclusion.
And that's all?
That's all. Yes, that is all. Not to you, perhaps, but to me, yes. Look, I'm sorry, but that's the way I am. Now, please stop following me around all cow-eyed.
Brenda!
Oh, no more, Chris, please. I'm going. Alone. Daddy, I'll see you later.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Damn.
Whiskey, please. A double.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, what are you off?
Oh, I've got a darts match on, haven't I? Who wants to see me back down on a challenge now, would you?
Oh, that one.
Yeah, I expect me when you see me.
Look, please leave me alone. I told you...
Oh, what?
Oh, I'm awfully sorry.
I do beg your pardon, missus. It was just the same with this big fella. Just went up to him polite-like, and before I knew it, he had me against the wall of the carsy. Him and his brother, from the pool they was, putting the nut in, pecking away like a pair of hens they was.
I'm sorry, I thought it was someone else.
Like, a friend, perhaps? They, have a little gadget, sort of clocks, that add up the numbers for you.
Huh?
In that pub on Settle High Street. Remember the game of darts we was going to have? You're still on, is it, eh?
Well, yes, but I
quarter of an hour on the bike. You're wearing an anorak, so you're off easy today. Come on. It's over this way. Hey, Seth. Seth, wake up, will you?
What?
Wake up, you fat idle pig.
What do you want?
Would you like to buy a battleship?
Oh, get lost, will you? What time is it?
Oh, around 12. Here, let's get this Primus going. Hey, do you want to brew a coffee?
Huh? Oh, no, it'll have me up. Hey, you can give us a fag, though.
Oh, here.
Sir.
You sure you don't want a cup of coffee?
Positive, I told you.
And I can't sell you a battleship.
No!
You don't want much else alive, do you?
Look, I'd like to get some kip.
You know, the trouble with you is that you're an animal. You've got no appreciation of the finer things of life. Kip? Hey, wouldn't you rather sit up all night discussing the Divine Comedy?
Ah, divine God's wallop.
Or we could watch the top of El Velin discussing philosophy by moonlight. We'd be on the summit by dawn.
Oh, you're a nutter.
Dawn on El Velin. The early sun dispelling the writhing pockets of mist in the gullies. We could run down the mountainside, tumbling over scree waist-deep in the fresh green bracken to cleanse ourselves in the icy waters of the town.
Yeah, you catch double pneumonia, man.
Never. All pucker mountaineers do it all the time. You just haven't been reading the right books. It tones up the soul.
Bull.
I'm talking poetry. Oh, you're just not with it,
are you? Look, I don't want to be with it. And I'll tell you something for nothing, mate. You want to lay off trunking if it's going to leave you this way. Look, now, can I get back to Kip?
Hey, Seth, you sure you won't have some coffee?
No.
And I still can't sell you that battleship.
Oh, get Freemason, will you?
Get Freemason? Hey, I like that. Original turn of phrase there. Yes, there's hope for you, yes. Get Freemason.
Look, if you don't belt up, I'm going to belt you one.
Where you do turn nasty when you're a bit short of kip. You're worse than my wife.
Oh, shut up. Drink your coffee, will you, and crawl into your stinking pit and let's get some feather.
I wish I had a biscuit to go with this coffee.
Shut up.
Well, here we are then. You okay?
Yes, thank you.
And one of these nights, we'll get that game of darts in. You're as the fresh wind newly bringing dance steps to the old year's lying leaves, or like the sudden April warmth awakening green buds upon the dead and barren trees.
What?
Or as the sun gives gold to each new day, burnishing the hilltop crowns of bracken, so do you enrich all earth's delights, and like the moon with silver cools the nights.
You quoting poetry?
Why not?
More. I like it.
Well, I haven't written any more yet.
You didn't.
What?
Write it.
I did. On the back of a ciggy packet the other night. Oh,
Don, you are a strange person. Sometimes when you're in the pub, for instance, or when there's anyone around, you're so loud-mouthed and coarse and brutal. Then these last few nights up at the town, you've been, well, so tender. Now you write poetry. What are you, Don?
A nutter.
I know. You're an Elizabethan. A noisy, brash, flamboyant pirate who take a rest from pillage and blood and rape to write a sonnet.
And you're a romantic. I'm no Elizabethan, I'm not anything.
Yes, you are. My own Renaissance Viking.
Oh. Perhaps we could discuss it over a cup of coffee, eh?
I'm sorry, Don, but it's after 11 and I don't think...
Yeah, sure. Okay, I'll be seeing you then.
Don...
Give us a kiss, then.
Well, Don, I would like to ask you in. You know I would. But it is after 11.
Okay, forget it. I'll see you, love.
Don, be careful on that cliff.
Yeah, sure.
Bye.
See you.
Hello, Daddy.
Hello, dear.
You're up late.
Yeah, Jed from the farm was round. You're not exactly an early bird yourself. You've been out quite late for the last few nights. Ever since a certain young man got himself into an amiable mood and had to be helped home. Mm. Since when, he's been alternately laconic and profusely apologetic. He suffered a rebuff, I should say. I should certainly say that.
Yes.
Well, do you want to tell me about it?
There's nothing much to tell, Daddy, really. Oh, you know how it is.
Well, did you let him down gently?
As gently as I could.
But put him firmly in his place. No nonsense, eh? That's a girl. Oh, yes, Christofferson's a decent enough bod in his way. I like him, or I wouldn't have invited him up here. But he's not right for you, not by a long chalk. You know, I suppose Mr. Wright, if I may be permitted a hackneyed term for once, I suppose he'll come along one day. But I don't mind admitting that I hope it's not for a long time yet. I don't want to lose you for a while. Is that too selfish of me?
Of course not.
I'm very fond of you, you know. I don't know where I'd be without you. Always been more than a daughter to me, more a companion. Of course, we share the same interests. That means a great deal. When your mother died, well, there didn't seem much worth living for. I was too old for any more major expeditions. Oh, I could have gone along. I was invited to join several expeditions. Old Penlove. I had a reputation. But it wasn't for me. You know, as far as Camp 4, then sit on the shoulder while the assault teams went ahead. No, I felt pretty low. Then I realized I had a daughter. I found something to do. There was so much to show you. I got hold of this place, and in teaching you to love the British hills, I learned to love them again for myself. We walked, we climbed. In winter, I taught you to ski. It was like living my own youth again.
What did Jed want?
Huh? Oh, he came to tell me he'd seen two young fools up on the pit of the trolls.
Oh?
It's on his land, you know. He was a bit concerned that they might kill themselves. He came to ask me what I thought.
What did you say?
I told him he was right. Our two barroom mountaineering friends, I imagine.
What's he going to do about it?
Shoo them off, I suppose.
Do you think they'll go quietly?
That's what we'll have to see. I said I'd go along with them in the morning. Try to talk a bit of sense into their thick heads. If I can't make them see reason, then they'll be made to go.
Attention!
Right!
Right! Hey! Oh, hey, talk about graft!
What's the rock like?
Rotten as an old ceiling! There's a sort of crust of mouldy slag! I can't thrust any more pegs, and it's not solid enough to take an expansion bolt, so you better send us a wedge up, will you? One of the big ones!
Right!
They're building a house!
Boom!
A public house!
Hooray!
They've only got one bar!
Boom!
It's a mile long!
Hooray!
Hello!
Oh, funny little men down there.
You two on the rocks.
What?
Come on down.
Can't jump in the cut. They don't sell beer.
Boo!
They give it away.
Hey!
You heard the farmer. Come on down.
Oh, come and get us. I said, give us some more slack, will you? I'm moving up.
Right.
Slack!
Young fools, come down at once before you break your necks.
Shut up, you stupid idiot. Easy now.
Both hands on the wedge. Now, keep feet free of etrias and swing out. Pull out and up. Chin up to the wedge. Change grip and up.
How are you doing?
Great!
Drop the other end now. Shift grip again. Hold weight on one hand. Reach up quickly with the other. Jam it in the crack.
Now come along, lads. You're trespassing, you know. You're on private property. Don't screw your pointed head!
I'll sing you a song, and it's not very long. Hey, be ready with some slack, will you?
How are you doing?
There's a chalk stone I'm making for. It's magnificent up here. It's like climbing on the balcony of heaven.
Now lean out on one jammed fist on that chalk stone. Come on, boys. Just one long stretch. Now both hands on the chalkstone. One boot jammed in the crack. Then the other. Free climbing now.
I can hear the Valkyries! Oh!
Blimey, huh?
Hey, are you all right, kid?
No bones broken.
Oh, I thought you was a goner for a minute.
You thought? Oh, roll on. You know, if that last peg hadn't held, I would have been. Oh.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, a couple of bruises where I hit the ledge. It's nothing. I've seen the pot lids do worse tumbling after the pram. Now, come on. Let's get off this cliff. Hey, your hands look rough. You think you can make it?
Ah, sure. Come on.
Easy now, sir. Are you all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me have a look at those hands. Oh, they'll need some treatment. There's a first aid kit in my car.
Oh, thanks.
What about you? That's a nasty-looking bruise on your forehead. You know, you should have an X-ray.
I'm okay.
Well, I can't make you go to hospital, but you should, you know. You've had a very lucky escape. Now, don't push your luck.
You might have broken your neck. You're very lucky indeed.
The only luck I had was bad luck. That shock stone coming out. As for the rest, the rope and the pegs do their job. Next time...
There won't be a next time, young man.
You want to bet on it, mate? I'm going to face that climb, and I don't mind trespassing to do it. A threat of a 40-bolt fine won't stop me, mate.
Of course you might take that attitude. We're prepared for it. Isn't that right, Jed?
No, that's right enough.
Jed here has sworn out an injunction. And if you trespass on his land after tomorrow, you'll be committing a contempt of court. And that'll mean more than a 40-bob fine. It'll mean prison.
Ah, this is your doing, isn't it, Professor?
You've been staying in Morgan's barn, haven't you? We had a word with him, too. You'll find your gear outside, ready packed up.
Why, you lousy...
Leave it, Seth.
Well, what's he want to go sticking his nose in for?
He has his reasons, haven't you, Professor?
I'm simply protecting you from yourself.
Yeah, sure. Oh, come on, Seth. Let's get out of our gear.
Look, lads, I wouldn't mind you coming over my land, but what Professor Penlove says is right. John Cliff is far too dangerous to climb.
Well, that what he told you?
What other reason would the Professor have for wanting you turned off?
Ask him.
I'm sure I don't know what the young man's talking about. What other motives he thinks I have, other than concern for his safety, I can't imagine.
Go on, ask him. Everything aboard, mate?
Yeah.
Bike's a damn sight lighter, anyway.
We've left a ton of ironmongery on that cliff. A couple of dozen pegs, a couple of quid worth of expansion bolts.
Yeah, not to worry.
Yeah, but I hate to leave all that gear.
Hey,
up.
Don!
Oh, hello then.
My father told me you were leaving.
Oh, yeah. He saw to everything bar putting petrol in the bike.
Sorry. That cliff meant a lot to you, didn't it?
The great white whale. Oh, don't worry. There are other cliffs.
Not in Grisdale.
You'll miss me then?
Oh, Don.
Oh, God, get up with you. Hey, paint some good pictures, won't you?
I'll try.
So long.
So long.
We'll have a pint on the road. I'll think about it.
I'll go up to the tarn sometimes.
Yeah, sure. See you.
See you.
You're right, our kid.
Yeah. Hey, which way are you going, lad?
Oh, we left a lot of gear on that cliff and we've got a climb to finish. We can slip up there in the dark. It'll be light by four and we can start climbing. By the time we're spotted, it'll be too late for anybody to stop us, injunction or not.
Oh, but we can't, my hands. If you fall, I'll never be able to hold you.
I won't fall.
Look, it's too dodgy. I'm not doing it.
I'll do it solo, then. Get off the bike. Well, what are you waiting for?
Oh, okay. You're a raving nutcase, but I'll come with you.
Ha-ha! That's me, old mucker.
You mean they're up there now? Oh, the young fools. Yes, all right away. Brenda!
Yes, Daddy?
Get the Land Rover out of the garage, will you, while I can put my boots on?
Why? What's the hurry?
That was the police. Those two hooligans are on the pit again. They want a rescue party standing by. They're trying to persuade them to come down, but they're not having much luck.
Come on down, you fool! Come on down before you kill yourself!
Lots of people, eh? Hey, give us a bit more slack, sir. I'm traversing out onto the face.
Well, go easy, then. Go very easy.
Yeah. I'll put the feet on in.
We've tried every means of persuasion, sir, but without any luck. We've also read them the injunctions, and they refuse to come down.
Stubborn young fools.
Now, if we could get a man up there, well, it's sometimes more effective to reason with someone when you don't have to ball your head off. Is it possible, sir?
Barely possible. We're experienced mountain climbers. They've left their beacons in place, but it's far too dangerous. If one of them were to fall, they'd bring a lot of rock down with them. Anyone on the cliff before would almost certainly be smashed to pieces. All we can do is stand by.
And what chance have they got if there's an accident?
None whatsoever. Certainly none for the leader. The way the second man's hands are burnt, you could never hold him, even if he only fell a few feet. A 12-stone man falling 10 feet exerts a strain of over a ton. The rope would run through his fingers just as if it were running through a pulley. When the rope ran out, the strain would be incalculable. It would either snap like so much cotton, in which case the leader only would be killed, and we'd be left with the problem of getting the second man off the cliff with the flesh torn off his hands, clean to the bone this time. Alternatively, the rope would hold, and it would be Peyton's which gave way. In that case, the second man, too, would be pulled off.
And they'd both be killed. And the chances of the leader falling.
Certain. That cliff isn't climbable.
No, Daddy.
What, will you?
Pardon, miss?
The cliff is climbable. It's dangerous, and it might involve different techniques to those of your generation, Daddy. But Don said it's climbable, and he knows what he's doing.
That illiterate young hooligan?
He's not a hooligan, and his literacy might surprise you. He's pig-headed, perhaps, or he wouldn't have climbed today with Seth's hands in the condition they are. But it was you, Daddy, who forced his hand by persuading Jed to take out that ridiculous injunction. He's no more foolhardy than you were in 1946 on Everest, when half the expedition lost their lives because you refused to turn back.
I never thought you'd throw that in my face.
Well, I'm sick of the way that people like you and all your old chums constantly pick at people like Don, just because they don't have your set of rules.
Now, wait, where are you going?
My hands aren't raw from rope burn. Don? Don?
Well, you do meet some people in funny places. Did you come here often?
Move over, Seth.
You'll have to go all the way. Once we pass this next overhang, there'll be no turning back. The final wall will go, but it'll be tough.
Brenda! Brenda, come down!
Can you get down all right, Seth?
Yeah, I'll manage.
Well, be seeing you then, mate.
Hey, you reckon I can trust you on your own with her?
Cheeky. We'll be busy. Hey, have a brew waiting for us, will you?
Yeah, sure. Well, the best of British luck then, Wack.
Well, I'm told that here in Grizedale, we have today witnessed one of the most important mountaineering feats of the decade. Don McGrath, 26 of Liverpool, is just completing the final pitch of the 500-foot overhanging pit of the Trolls. There he is, almost at the top of the final wall, moving slowly. And my word, he must be pretty exhausted after over 18 hours on the face of this ferocious cliff. Crowds turned out to watch breathlessly as he and his fair partner, Miss Brenda Penlove, conquered the great overhang and inched their way out onto the tremendous terminal wall of the cliff they said could not be climbed. And now you can see the lead climber just reaching the top. There he is, 26-year-old Don McGrath from Liverpool. And there's quite a reception party waiting to pat him on the back. Well, they took the easy way up the side of the cliff, of course. I see he's been offered a flask. Someone had the foresight to take up some liquid refreshment. And my word, I bet he's ready for it off.
Duncan McNeice reporting yesterday from Grizedale in Yorkshire. He looked pretty precarious himself balanced on that boulder. Fortunately, his beard didn't catch the wind or there might have been a nasty accident. At the end of the film, the second climber, 29-year-old London teacher Miss Brenda Penlove, was still on the cliff. We thought you might like to know that she got safely to the top as well. We thought you might also like to know that we have just learned that no further action will, in fact, be taken as a result of the violation of the injunction. Well, that's all from Scan for this evening.
I'm afraid
we've
only bottled beer left, sir. We had such a run on the draft last night, what with the celebration party and all the reporters and all.
Oh, well, bottles it'll have to be, then.
Oh, please, I'll pay for those, if I may.
Oh, you would you? Well, go on, chop.
Let him say.
Thank you. If I may be allowed to presume upon your time, I'd like to have a word with you.
Go ahead.
What I have to say is confidential.
Oh. Well, there's nobody in the snug. This quiet's enough for you?
Well, first of all, in spite of what the whole Dale believes by now, when I tried to run you out, I had no idea about your... Well, that you had become friendly with my daughter. I wanted to know that I was motivated only by my desire to prevent what I thought would be certain disaster. I still think I was right in trying to stop you. No, you climbed the cliff for sure, but where you've led, others less lucky or less skilled are sure to follow. Sooner or later, someone will certainly be killed. Your style of highly mechanized climbing on unpredictable faces is far too dangerous. It should not be practiced.
100 years ago, they said that about all climbing after the deaths on the Matterhorn. Now little old ladies go up there for an afternoon outing.
Nevertheless, there are limits to what can be humanly achieved without the climber exposing himself to an undue and entirely disproportionate risk. Into a sport that was adventurous, you've introduced a reckless element.
Yeah, well, that's been said too.
You don't like me very much, do you?
No, but the feeling's mutual, isn't it?
I'm sorry, because it doesn't make it any easier for me to ask something of you. To beg, plead if necessary.
Go on.
It's about Brenda. Oh, I know you'll probably think I'm being snobbish, but let me assure you that snobbery doesn't come into it. Oh, I'm not concerned about what class you belong to. I'm not prejudiced in that way. Not one to worry about what's generally referred to as breeding.
Please let
me finish. I've always maintained that a chap's origins count far less than what he's made of himself. It's just that... But can't you see that with your different cultural and educational backgrounds, anything between you and Brenda could never work out? That's why I'm appealing to you, man to man. I don't know how far this relationship has gone, but if you have any genuine feeling for her, you'll break it off now.
Oh, you needn't worry yourself, Squire. I've done all I came to this valley for. I'm leaving tonight. And don't bother your head about there being any locking bar stuff. The bike will only carry two. Besides, I've got a wife at home.
You young swine, you deceitful...
Oh, there was no deceit. She knew. I told her right at the start.
My God, it makes me sick in my stomach to think of you involving Brenda in one of your sordid little affairs.
There's nothing sordid about it, actually. Just the opposite. Oh, well. I'll see you around at the lads' club spot. Ping-pong balls at 5 paces. Come on, the old buddy. Let's get weaving.
Bren?
Oh, hello there.
Hi, Chris.
Look, it's a mold used to cast bronze axe heads. I found it just on the other side of the lake. It's a natural place for settlement. I hope to unearth much more.
That's exciting for you.
Pure chance took me up there. Your father was going that way, and I thought I might as well set off in the same direction. Oh, by the way, he asked me to tell you he'll be back late. He's planning on doing the 30-mile Four Peaks walk or something.
Yes, he's got some bile to get out of his system.
Well, how's the painting going?
Over there. See for yourself.
Oh, may I?
Yes, do.
Hey. Yeah, that's very good. It's jolly impressive. I like the way you've got the tarn and the hills round about. It's very stark, though.
It's in memory of someone who's dead.
What?
The only one of us who's real when he's dead. Come over here, Chris.
Oh, what is it?
Sit down.
Hmm?
Chris.
Brenna.
Shh. Dear. Dear Chris. Can you forgive me? Even though he doesn't know it yet, he's dead. If it doesn't kill himself one way, it'll be another. If it isn't on a mountain, then he's certain to have a smash on the road, the way he drives that stupid motorbike. He thinks he's impregnable, so confident, so sure of himself. But sooner or later, at night perhaps, he'll blaze into something unforeseen. A patch of oil or grease or ice on the road. A skid which normally he'd be able to control, but this time there just happens to be something coming the other way. And the skid takes him into its path. Eyes close involuntarily at the blaze of the headlights, blindly and instinctively wrench at the handlebars to avoid the impending collision. The bike becomes a flying thing, leaving the road to smash through the fence and plunge down a steep gorge in a trail of sparks, smashing from boulder to boulder.
Brenna.
Shh. Don't speak. Listen to the lake.
The Pit of the Trolls by Jim Andrew was produced by Alan Eggborn.